Right now, even recently, I have shared an article with my comment about the right to disconnect regulation, which is again changing how we understand the work and life-work balance. Because earlier it would be appreciable that a person comes to work and is so devoted that works 24/7, then you know you'll find a skeleton at the table. But nowadays we understand more and more the importance of the balance of life and work, and people, not only the employees but also the managers, they understand the importance of setting the boundaries, even, you know, putting regulation over it.
Podcast, Prio Ich und Du, and now we switch in English. We said it in, or I said it last week, that we develop, that I develop the podcast together with the team, and a warm welcome, and it is a pleasure to have my first guest today here. From Lithuania, Diana Soprana from Soprana Personnel. Welcome. Thank you for your time in advance. And let us speak a little bit like we, I also had my interviews with other guests in German. And how we can start. And the point is how we connect people. Diana and I, or better, one day I was sitting in the car and had a little cup of coffee. So I like to drink coffee with an open cup. It's not so sensible, yes. And some weeks later, I get this. It looks like, if you see it in a video, like a little urn, right? But it isn't it. It is a cup for drinking maybe some coffee without spill myself, because every parent know that when you have children, you adapt something. And I like to be like a child sometimes, yes, but not to spill. And Diana saw it. That is her skill. Human resources helping every time. And thank you for your time. And where we meet you today.
Hello.
Yeah, sometimes it takes a little bit longer. Freestyle.
Yeah, so hello, dear listeners. Hello, Sebastian. And I'm really glad to be here. I have been listening to your podcast when I would want to fall asleep in German, you know. And then my German language really got better. So, yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah, I see you're sitting today in the office. Thank you that you changed some appointments, that we have the chance to record it, because in 1 week is already the publishing plan. Human resources. I want to jump in a little bit. What is your daily business? What is your task? How our listeners can imagine it. What is that? Human resources, especially connected to your name, Soprana. It's nothing have to do with mafia, right?
No, it has nothing to do with mafia. It's the leading voice in the recruitment industry. Internationally, we work mostly in Scandinavia, and we've also had some partners in Germany. So we can help companies to build remote teams and manage and lead those remote teams here. So, by the way, I'm in Lithuania. I don't remember if you mentioned that.
Yeah, shortly at the beginning, if with this monologue introduction. Sorry for that, and sorry also when you said, okay, I hear your podcast and I fall asleep. Okay, maybe I should it making a little bit more interest or more power, but okay.
No, that was kind of a compliment, you know.
Okay, yeah, it's like learning to take, sorry.
Yeah, it's like the voice, you know, and then the sound
Okay.
when you're listening in the longer episodes, you know, you're like duh, 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 duh. So it's like
Okay.
focusing and training the brain actually to focus, you know. So in the beginning it would
Okay.
be like 1 minute and I'm like out.
Okay.
Second time it's like I used to have troubles falling asleep, you know, and I could not fall asleep. But then when I was working with Romy and she told me to listen to some podcasts and so on and so on, so I was like, okay, the podcast that I know in German is Sebastian's podcast, so it's like, okay, let's train with that. And she was like, yeah, that's a very good topic, you know, the business topics and life topics that he's speaking about, and that's very good for training. So I started training and I noticed that the first time it's like 1 2 minutes and I'm like out, when normally I would have trouble sleeping. Second time, and remember I told you that it's like listening to fairy tales or something, because the brain does not accept, or it's harder to focus, and instead of it chooses to fall asleep. But then the time got extended, it was much longer, and I started understanding the dialect that you're speaking, because it would be I don't know if it is the dialect, but okay, I could understand other people easier than you in German when I would hear people speaking. But yeah, so I see this episode is getting out of hands.
No, because I will catch it and bring it to this human resources. Is
Yeah.
this also what you see that, for example, you shared a post that some of your candidates is afraid to change a job, right? And how you give some methodics? Is this a methodic jump in the cold water, maybe in a safety space to connect the brain, both sides, and learning something new? Is this could it be a good way to open the mind or learning something new to be able to have a new job?
You know, I think we see sometimes job search as a process, CV, LinkedIn profile, setup, and so on. However, it is much more deeper, broader in a sense that you really have to get to know yourself, what you want, plan the career if you want to go up the ladder. And on the other hand, it's about knowing what you want and you don't want. Because a lot of people are just looking for a job that pays better. Some people, whenever they are participating in job interviews, they are not even giving questions to the employers. They just come and answer, you know. So the people are not even selecting themselves, or not even showing that they care about who, what, where. But in reality, when you think we spend most of our times at work, right? So it is very important. It's important people that we are spending life with, and life with at work. So it's important that a person knows and decides what he or she does want and does not want to do at work. What are the strengths and what are the weaknesses? And you know, some people are saying, you know, definitely I could not work this kind of job. And sometimes we see people who are like, according to this testing system, that psychometric system that I'm working with, for example, they are the accumulator, repetitive tasks. They are good at accounting, you know, doing something that is stable. Whenever you say something like, oh, you know, I have a new idea, for them, it's like, oh my God, no, really? No, you know, it's like, I'm out. I don't want anything new. I don't need anything new. They want stability. But very oftentimes, these people somehow have the opposite image. And for example, they say, oh, you know, I would like to work as a social media something, you know, and so on and so on. So in this case, you have to know the strength. What is your where you can use it and how you can use it and apply in that particular job. Okay, repetitive tasks. So it means this person will be maybe good, you know, at planning, implementing this social media strategy. But will this person be creative? No, not necessarily, not that much as they could. And therefore, they need another two team members, for example, to fulfill this team. So, yeah. And getting out of the comfort zone. I think a lot of people are afraid of getting out of the comfort zone a lot and they are scared. But the only thing that you can do it's just like by doing it. You just need to take the first step, however insane that might look, you know, how scary it is. And ask yourself, what are you afraid of? And what is the worst thing that can happen if I leave my job or if I change the job? Because some people are doing the job search while they are still working in a workplace. Some people are saying, oh, you know, I have quit the job. I want to have some rest. And then I go to search for another one when I have rest and clear my mind. And then I know what I want to do.
Oh, there's any a little view in you what you daily do, right? Interview candidates and find out the right persons for the right job with the right leader, I would say so, right? And in Germany especially, the image of human resources sounds much better than Zeitarbeit or Arbeitnehmerüberlassung.
Personalberatung.
Personalberatung, that is the most sexy one in the comparison to the other two. Yeah. But the point is, I think there is much more. So, what is or how you see the image of human resources, maybe also in Europe, the development in the last 5 years, how it changed a little bit? Because what you do, you analyze the people, you have psychology background, so yeah, and so on and so on. And when I compare it, it's not comparable, of course, but when I compare it with other human resources company in Germany, oh, it is like find a number instead of a person. How you see it changes in the last maybe 5 years or 3 or whatever.
Well, you know, because of the pandemics that we had a few years ago, because of the economic conditions, because of the war, a lot of workplace tendencies are changing. People were out to work remotely online. Now, some companies who cannot manage the processes and for different reasons, they are saying, we don't trust people. We want them back in the office 5 days, you know, a week, and so on and so on. So again, depends on the generations, their attitude on that as well. We also had some economic things in influencing IT sector a lot of firing. They have overhired and then they were firing. And these dynamics are happening not only in Europe, but also in other continents, and they are influencing all over the world. Right now, even recently, I have shared an article with my comment about the right to disconnect regulation, which is again changing how we understand the work and life-work balance. Because earlier, it would be appreciable that a person comes to work and is so devoted that works 24/7, then you know you'll find a skeleton at the table. But nowadays we understand more and more the importance of the balance of life and work, and people, not only the employees but also the managers, they understand that importance of setting the boundaries, even, you know, putting regulation over it, the importance of healthy work workplace, and also a lot of employers, a lot of managers, owners of the companies, they deal with burnout. And some years ago, it was a stigma. We used not to talk about that. It seemed like top manager or manager cannot get sick, cannot have problems, cannot have anything. It has to lead by example. Of course, it is a golden rule. You need to lead by example or walk the talk, right? However, it was impossible for the manager to be weak. You have to be all the time strong somewhere there. But managers can also have problems. Managers can get burnt out and so on, you know. So we are regulating and changing the attitude towards all of those things. So I'm happy that all of that has changed. And last year, I started writing a book about remote teams. This year, I finished one chapter, but also when I was reading it recently for editing and giving the final copy to the editor, I was thinking, okay, this has changed in the last year. I need to update it before printing, you know. So I'm very glad. And I think social media, things like TikTok, they are helping and influencing a lot because we are already having a change in generations. People are sharing things online. Information spreads so much faster. And yeah. And also, it's like more, less technical, but more like looking deeper into the person. And a lot of times I'm saying that recruitment and human relations at work, sometimes it's also like dating, you know. Would you get married to the very first person that you meet? No. Would you accept the first job offer that you get when you're going to interviews? Also, we can give the parallel to dating. Some people do. But is it healthy? And you know how quickly you get out of this work relationship? That also depends on the quality. Priorities. How do you prioritize your work tasks, your work requirements, and everything? A lot of those are important.
Before I catch up here, or before I take your saying life work balance, I like this following of the words, because normally we say it otherwise. We see it.
I learned it from you.
I read an article yesterday about that a bigger baker company with I don't know 28 departments all over Germany with thousands of employees going bankrupt. So, and 1,000 employees see nothing. What would you recommend to these employees who haven't more a job at the moment, exactly in this direction, what you said, learn yourself, what is important. Is this a good thing at the moment when you get, for example, hey, on Monday you haven't more a job, then that you can take it as a chance? Or what you would recommend instead of maybe this baker company, little shout out in this moment. So please maybe send the candidates to Diana, 1,000 candidates, and then we can take a look as in the job. Because bakery, I don't mean now the production, more or less the salespersons in the stores. So because they have something to do with people, and in my world it is not so important if you sell some cakes or some bread. It could also be some other things, but you have something to do. What you would recommend such employees who get this information? In the best case from the management, in the worst case from the publishing article, right?
I think that's the worst thing that a company can do to inform people about layoffs from by the media or through the media, you know. I think that's like what people don't deserve. It's sad if someone or some company does that, but I have also heard such stories that they heard about layoffs from others, even when it is impacting when they hear someone else in the company being fired, and then people are like, oh, maybe I'm the next one. So, but answering the question, I'm thinking, you know, first of all, don't panic. One thing, it's again, either you go out of the comfort zone or you get kicked out of the comfort zone. And a lot depends on the attitude, what you choose to do. You can have two choices. So you can sit and cry. You can also take action and change your life, you know. Maybe you have always wanted to start your own baking company, a little bakery in a small town, and you know, work on that independently and so on, but never dare to do that. Here is a chance for you to do that, you know. On the other hand, sometimes people think that there are no more options, but actually, I think in these kind of job positions, there is always a need for people. And so most important thing is not to panic, but to take action. Okay, what are the 5 steps that I need to do now? The deadline, maybe you need to put it into some smaller steps, you know. Maybe you need to find some career consultant recruiter, reach out to them, have the network, spread the word, you know. I'm looking for a new job. If somebody knows someone who is hiring, please recommend me. Because a lot of times when people get fired, they somehow take this guilt on themselves that they are somehow wrong, they are, have done something wrong, they are somehow bad, you know, and it's a shame to be fired when in reality it's just economics, you know. Company is struggling financially, they have to do that. So, but people take it personally a lot of times. So give a shout out to your network on social media, call to some friends, reach out to recruitment agency, set up some maybe LinkedIn profile, you know, so or job search portal profile so that you can be discovered more easily. If you don't know how to do that, reach out to a recruitment agency or a career consultant and ask for some help.
Yeah, in the best case to you, to your team, right? So because you work internationally, and the last question for the first episode is this life work balance. You work the most time with Scandinavian companies and the Scandinavian market. I hear that, for example, the Danish inhabitants or the Danish folk said, okay, we live hygge. Hygge means we hygge means so I understood it, you are not more available, I would say, so after 3 p.m. because they live their life and work a little bit, so something like that. So in Norway it's a similar, it is Nos, Os, Os or something like that, I heard it. So we have now the situation, in Germany, we are our routine, our habits are work, stand up 6 a.m., especially for the handcrafts, for example, and work till 4 or 5 p.m. and then you can go home. And so how we can change, how we can have both a good, perfect service, a good result of our doings, and at the same time live life hygge. What is the how the Danish do that? How the Norway do that?
I think first of all is the attitude, mindset. One
Mm-hmm.
thing I think it's also related to the weather. Now
Of course.
it's getting dark earlier and so
No,
on.
no, no, no. That is not relevant. Why? Take a look to the Italians, to Portugal, and so on. So they
Yeah,
make siesta. So I think it's not really the weather or what's a joke,
okay.
right?
Yeah, but you know, Italians are also working in the evenings until late, partying, going out until late, and so on and so on. I think it's a different lifestyle. For me, it's more about the mindset in the culture, and I have noticed that in Scandinavia, and particularly in Norway and Denmark, that this people work structured, but they take time because they are seeing that whenever you do something slower, it prevents from mistakes, you know, and sometimes it's like better to do things slower. On one hand, it's also about the timing, I believe, because you know, in some places it's like never even the sun does not come up. So in here it's also affecting the productivity and so on and so on. So that's my theory that it's also related to that, you know. However, I think it's also the government is supporting this, that you don't work more than that, you know, that they are publicly speaking about that. They are educating their people about the importance of the work-life balance. They are speaking about the mindfulness. They have a lot of information access and some support from the government about that. But it's also that people are supporting it very much, you know. And I think it's becoming like a trend, even though in some countries, like for example, in Lithuania, if we speak about working productively, so you would never hear that, okay, let's finish work at 3 o'clock, you know, start at 10 o'clock, and so on. Somehow it's still related that the more you work, you more the more you get work done, something like that. And yeah, I tried myself this. You remember that some 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when we started working, my first question was about managing the time so that, for example, when I'm going on work trips to Norway or traveling, that I would not be so much stressed out, and also that I want to have more quality time with my daughter, because I would feel not well whenever I'm not spending that much time with her. For example, sometimes I would have a lot of, you know, projects, things going on, and I would work until the end of the kindergarten. Okay, maybe not that bad. It's like 5 o'clock or something, but I would work until then I'm running there and so on and so on. In the meantime, I see that some parents are picking up their children at 2 or 3 o'clock. And for me, it was not feeling good about that, but I wanted to make time for this, and I wanted to have some balance. And I remember that at that time we were working with you, and the plan was which tasks we can delegate, what can we automate, and so on. So for me, that was also a good balance, and it helped me. And especially now that I'm the only one to do that, I can go and pick up my daughter at the time when she before she's going to yoga class, you know, and it's at about 3 o'clock and so on, and not feel guilty about that. But it took me some time to rearrange my schedule, rearrange the planning, and delegate the tasks, and so on and so on, to set up priorities, because we all have things that are important for us, and intentionally or unintentionally, we show it. So, yeah.
Okay. So recommendation, find your own way, reflect yourself a little bit in this case. My recommendation to jump a little bit in this Norway mindset is a book of Anders Inzaam, A Decode of the Vikings. Very interesting. And they compare it a little bit with the sports because, there are much champions from Norway, especially in skiing, but also in other kind of sports. And it is like just imagine when you have a little village and one person did it, all persons from the village support this guy or woman, right? So they say yes, and they are proud of it. In German, sometimes when you have, hey, be silent, don't make you such self-important or whatever. So maybe that could be my recommendation on this in this time or in this case. Read the book. Most better invite Diana for don't know. You also make some keynotes. I know to inspire especially women, right? To go their way, right? I know you have an invitation for next year. 3,500 or 3,000. You are on the stage. What is the secret behind? Abonnement the channel and follow us. Take a look on her profile, LinkedIn, and all the other stuff. And we will jump, especially on this and why it was not so easy for Diana to do such things. So, last word for this moment from you.
See you in the next episode.